Manda ti para casea. Oh, mero que veda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, many warriors will emerge from this meeting. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Some of you came here feeble. But as you walk out of this place, the lioness dimension in you will come forth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, before I came up, the Holy Ghost whispered to me, and he said, some of them are ready. It's not the message that they are waiting for. They are waiting for the outpouring. Please pay attention and be sensitive. And so before I begin to share, there are some of you that badges will be given to you in the spirit, because you are about to be enrolled into the army of God. And so in that mode, even as you are expectant, right now, the wind of the spirit will just blow through this auditorium gently. And some of you, the hand of God will come upon you. Before I begin to share, because there is an ordination that is about to come upon your life. I know you came, you have been laboring in prayer, asking God for a door to open, asking God for a shift. But God was using that opportunity to prepare you for the moment. And this is the moment of the Spirit. That thing you are praying for, it's not what God is looking at. God is raising a warrior on your inside. And so right now, by the Holy Spirit, there are not many of you, there are just about 5 of them. Inside and outside of this auditorium, let the Spirit begin to rest. Ushers, you will bring them here quickly. Power of the Holy Ghost, activations. I call you forth. Warriors, lionesses, come forth. Comfort! Comfort! Manteca Basele, Tetetelia, Lakina Barak, Vantaria, Papazene, Sanote, Kaladia, Rakiba, Tata. I command your womb in the spirit. Open! Let the rivers begin to flow. Open! 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 Masa, Fetak, Tatali, Kamano. Activations are taking place. Ordinations are taking place. Step into dimensions of the Spirit. Come into realms of power, realms of glory. Receive capacity by the Holy Ghost. Step forward in the Spirit. River flow. Let it river flow. In your church once again, let eternity be river flow, let it river flow in your church once again, let eternity be river. Let it a river flow in your church once again. Let it a be seen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Please stay sensitive. The Holy Ghost is ordaining people. You may not be falling down. Some of you are crying. It's a move of the Spirit. Some of you are just still in your spirit. It's not about falling down. Those who are falling, that's their response to the Holy Ghost. It's the move of the Spirit in your heart.
And so stay sensitive and receive. Some of you are receiving a fresh wine in the Holy Ghost. You are receiving a fresh wine. You are being drunk in the Spirit. That's how you take up your asanas. That's how you take up your mantles. That's how you take up your weapons. And so in the Spirit, I provoke activations. People that have been held down by demons, the powers of demons are breaking. The spirit of heaviness is being lifted. The yoke of heaviness, the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity is being lifted. In the name of Jesus, we break those spells.
There's somebody around here. There's a growth. There is something, a growth in your on your inside. You are about to be operated upon. It's a growth, and you were told you have to be operated for it to be removed. I'm seeing the Holy Ghost do a surgery on that person now. Right now, right now. The hand of God comes upon you, and that growth is terminated. I curse that growth. I curse that growth. Is that person? Where is the person? If you cannot, can you wave at me? Who is the person? Please come quickly. There are some of you the Lord is already touching. In the name of Jesus, I curse that affliction. Which of you was built for an operation? You were told you had to be operated. You are the one. Yes, please come. That operation is cancelled. I'll pray for every other person, but the operation is cancelled. Go from her. Go from her. Don't worry. You don't have to cry. Go! I curse it to the root. Go from her. In the name of Jesus. I curse that growth. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave. Go! That growth dematerializes now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I curse that growth to its root. It's done. It's done. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody wearing a cardigan here. You are diagnosed of hypertension. You are wearing something like a thick wear, like a cardigan. I just saw a quick vision in the spirit. You had something to do with it. The garment is a long sleeve, a bit thick. I pray for you, Mama. But I saw something from here. You are diagnosed of hypertension. I curse that affliction. I curse that affliction to its root. I curse that affliction. I curse that affliction. Spirit of fear and torment. Go from her. Go from her. In the name of Jesus. It leaves you now. It leaves you now. Go from her. I want you to pay attention this morning. Even the things you have not asked for, the Lord will grant it today. But the emphasis of the Spirit is to build capacity. And so refuse to be distracted by things. Refuse. As God builds capacity, you will not only receive the things you have trusted God for, But you will live here and you will begin to generate that answer by the Spirit for others. There's a strong atmosphere of God's glory here. Please, just stay sensitive. I'm seeing the Lord ordain intercessors. I'm seeing the Lord is ordaining intercessors. The energy will go round. The energy will go round. The energy will go round. Touch, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. I'll just give us a brief charge and then we will pray. Because when you want people, please help my sister. When you want to help people build capacity in the place of prayer, the best way to do it is to get them to pray. You learn to pray by praying. You become stronger in prayers by praying more. And you make progress in prayers by praying much more. So it's in praying that you make progress by prayer. And so this morning, into the afternoon, we will spend some time to pray very brutally here. Very, very brutal prayers. I came with my friend and brother, who is an intercessor. Because it's a prayer meeting, I wanted us to wield some scepters. So we'll not just talk about prayer, we will pray. And when we pray, the energy will envelop someone. And you will live here praying until you will become prayer. Someone that sings is a singer. Someone that dances is a dancer. The person who prays is a prayer. So you will live here and become prayer. And when you become prayer, the last thing you are concerned about are your needs. Because when a man prays, he becomes a router. You have more than enough to think of your needs. I assure you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to share a few thoughts with us this morning before we proceed to praying. Mama said I should give us a charge on the subject, building capacity in prayers. And while I was meditating, it just dawned on me, if an army of praying women rises, Jesus may come next week. Because the efficacy and the productivity that the world will see will be in a geometric fashion. And so I trusted God to give me a few words that will quicken your inner man. So you will not just come for fellowship as usual. You will live here and you will go with the atmosphere of the fellowship. And your home will become a portal where the Holy Spirit, the Lord Himself and His angels will continually traffic. And that will be somebody's portion in the name of Jesus. In the realm of God, there is a ranking system. Because the realm of God is a kingdom. And so when you come into a kingdom, men are profiled and ranked on the strength of the authority they command, to the degree that they are relevant to the king and the extent to which they can advance his purpose. The realm of God is not just a family. If it were a family, you would have enjoyed privileges on the strength of your birth system. And so the one who comes first would naturally receive an inheritance because of the right of the firstborn. But because the realm of God is not just a family, There are other indices by which God ranks men. Because there is a purpose in view, there's an agenda in view, and there is a will that must be advanced. Because every king is interested in territory, and every king is in the business of dominion. I've shared many times, and I would highlight again before I go forward, that God is not just a father. God is also a king, and God is also a judge. The fatherhood of God predisposes him to be benevolent towards you. And that's why you don't need so much to receive from God. All you need to do to receive from God is just to believe and to declare. He says, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. The reason is because the fatherhood of God places an obligation upon him to take care of your needs. That's why I said, as wicked as your earthly parents are, will you ask them for bread and they give you stone? Or will you ask them for fish and they give you a serpent? That means, in that realm, the least thing God can do for you is to answer your prayers. But much more than answering your prayer, there is a cadre and a ranking system that you must ascend in so that you will gain relevance in that realm. Because you are dealing in a kingdom. Because when a king begins to interact with his subjects, he doesn't interact with all of them at the same level. He interacts with them on the strength of the authority that they command and the extent to which they advance his purpose. It will be unfortunate for a man or a woman to walk through the face of the earth and only interface with God as a father, receiving things from him just to lavish on his own appetite. When that man or woman crosses the divide of time into the realm of eternity, he or she will discover that life was more than bread and wine. We are in the kingdom. If you study Leviticus chapter 27, God began to tell Moses to grade the children of Israel according to their value. And he said, rate them by the values of the shekels of the sanctuary. A child that is less than 5 years old, if he is a female, there is a value allotted. 6 shekels, 3 shekels of the sanctuary. If he's a male, the value is 5 shekels of the sanctuary. Someone above the age of 5, but below the age of 20, if he's a male, he is worth 50 shekels of the sanctuary. If it's a female, it's worth 30 shekels of the sanctuary. Somebody who is above the age of 60. Now, the reason that value is much is because those ones can go to war. Because the king wants to advance the frontiers of his kingdom. So he is needing functionaries that can stand in battle and bring his glory to the ends of the earth. When people are above 60, their value now declines again. Now, in the Old Testament, he was judging them male and female because God dealt with men in the flesh in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's no male or female because our spirits have come alive. So in the New Testament, there is a structure and a value system by which God rates men. It's the strength to which they can intermingle with the Holy Spirit and deploy the resources of grace in advancing his kingdom. And whether you are a male or a female is not a factor. Because in this context, it is by grace that we make progress. And so God judges men. God rates men according to cadres and according to ranking. When you study the kingdom of God critically, you will discover that the least people in the kingdom are children. And you don't need to think too far to understand why. Children are consumers. And they are most disadvantaged. Because in the time of war, the first victim are children. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 18, it says a cry was heard. It says Rachel was weeping for her children because they are no more. They have been slaughtered. The reason you see many people cry that, hey, a demon came and was pressing me on the bed, it's because they are children. Because demons don't go everywhere. There are places that demons themselves advise themselves not to go to. Because if they go there, things will go wrong. The reason you are oppressed is not because God is not powerful. It's because there is a level you are still functioning that God is telling you, come up hither. It's boring when every time somebody comes to you and needs something. Not because you cannot give more than what he asks, but you are perturbed that this person has refused to grow. Now, in the realm of men, women understand love better. That's why even the Bible talks about the love of a mother. We who are men, we take responsibility, but when it has to do with love, the intricacies is more with the women. After all, they kept the child in their womb for 9 months while we were sleeping and snoring. So they have a deeper connection. But you see, even a mother, if a child is 30 years old and is still coming for food, the mother will say, your mates are working hard. Go and join them. Not because the mother's love have waned. In fact, that love is what is provoking the mother to stir the child to become responsible. The same applies with God. If all the time we come to God, we are asking for things, a day will come, God will tell you, this thing is available, but you at this level, you are supposed to get it for yourself. So go and learn how to get it. Because I'm more interested in your growth than in your comfort. So children are the least in the realm of God. When you advance further, then you will find sons. Sons are not male. Sons are those who have become like their God through transformation, and those who are led by the Spirit. So they now know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they do the will of the Father as they are led by the Holy Spirit. And then you grow further, then you come to elders. Elders are those who have matured enough to supervise and to legislate over the affairs of God. Now, when you become an elder, then God begins to rank you again into offices. And then you have prophets, you have apostles, you have pastors, you have teachers, you have evangelists. Now, when you are in an office, there is yet another level you will get to in God. It is the realm of a priest. Priests are the most ranking men in the kingdom of God. Not apostles, not prophets, not evangelists, not pastors, not teachers, but priests. And the reason is because when God designed this kingdom, he didn't design it for apostles. He didn't design it for prophets. He didn't design it for evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That office became necessary because man fell and God needed a structure of training and leadership. When God originally designed his kingdom, he designed it for only priests. And so in Exodus chapter 19, from verse 4, he began to read out the blueprint of creation to Moses. He said, see how that I have taken you out of Egypt by a mighty hand. He said, therefore, if you will hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, then I will make you a kingdom of priests. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of priests. And Peter was reiterating this truth in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He said, ye are a royal priesthood. He said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. God's own special people. Called forth to declare the excellencies of God. So every one of us that we have rights in this kingdom, we have rights to the degree that we become priests. Every one of us that will exercise authority in this kingdom. Remember, I told you, God ranks men based on authority and relevance. Every one of us will wield authority in this kingdom to the degree of the efficacy of our priesthood. Without priesthood, there can be no rulership. Your kingship is the function of your priesthood. Many are not understanding this equation. That is why they keep decreeing things and it never happens. This is why they keep declaring things and it never happens. Because the right that you have in this kingdom is a right that functions on the premise of your priesthood. And so when we talk about building capacity in prayer, we are actually bringing you to the foundation of reality. The things that truly matter in the heart of God. Every time God boasts about a man, go and check the scripture. He is an intercessor. Have you seen my servant Job? And then you say, who is this? Now, that's the first book of the Bible that was written. And in the first book of the Bible, God was making boast of a man. If you study Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, that's when you will discover the office of Job. Job was not a prophet. Job was an intercessor. God said, if I say I will destroy a city, even if you bring these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they will only save themselves. That means the stature that Job had in the kingdom that made God to boast with Job is not because he can see in the spirit. It's not because he was wealthy. It's because Job was a priest. You want to get to a point where God can boast with you, then your priesthood must be restored. Because God boasts only with priests. In Jeremiah chapter 15 from verse 1, God made a declaration. And God said, even if Moses and Samuel pray on this matter, I will not answer. That means in the kingdom of God, the men that change things are the men who pray. That means if he were to change his mind, he will change his mind based on the strength of their intercession. So when you find people who pray, they are people that engages government with God. They are people that advances government with God. That was why in Exodus 32, God said, I will wipe out Israel and start a new generation with you. God was discussing with Moses about kingdom agenda and the things that he had in mind. What kind of stature is that? It's the stature of an intercessor. He had a covenant with Abraham, but he came back to tell Moses, this covenant I had with Abraham, I want to annul it now. He didn't talk to the angels about it. He came to an intercessor. And quickly, Moses went back to his office and said, far be it from you. He said, repent, God. How can you deliver them from Egypt and destroy them in the wilderness? While a petty man is going for an impartation, hoping that they will prophesy breakthrough, an intercessor knows that breakthrough is the least problem. He's talking to God, what about Nigeria? What are you saying about Nigeria? Another one is saying, what are you saying about Africa? Meanwhile, somebody else is going to God and say, Lord, let them anoint me so that I will get married. How do you compare the person coming to receive an anointing for marriage with the person interceding for the whole Nigeria? Do you know how many unmarried women are in Nigeria? In speaking of stature in the kingdom, somebody else is telling God that he needs what to eat and drink. Another person is talking to God about the government. I'm not impressed with what is happening in the government. Lord, there must be a change. So while one person is surviving, another person is ruling. The difference is the strength of their intercession. You will leave the realm of begging. You will leave the realm of hoping that things will work. And you will come to the realm where you make things happen. There are people things happen to. There are other people things don't happen to them. They make things happen. The people who make things happen, they do it from the altar. In Luke chapter 2, from verse 36 to 38, the Bible spoke of a woman, Anna, the prophetess. She was like every one of us seated here. And the Bible said, her husband died from her youth. And he said, for 84 years, she was in the temple, night
and day, praying and fasting. And the moment Jesus was born, the Holy Ghost had to come tell Anna that the Christ that you have been praying for have come to the earth. That means Jesus did not come to the earth just because God felt like it. Jesus came to the earth because an intercessor made a highway for him to come into the world. That's the level of power that some people wield on the face of the earth. They are men that God himself will say to himself, will I do a thing without telling my servant Abraham? What do you mean? Are you not the sovereign Lord? Yes, you are the sovereign Lord. But in your sovereignty again, you have declared that the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. And the men who keep the earth, they do it from the altar. So even when the sovereign Lord wants to do something on the earth, he will consult with the gatekeepers. It's the power of intercession. And if intercession and prayer is this important, that God himself will have to partner with a man to bring his agenda to pass, then every man who is wise will desire his or her altar to be alive. Because it's what gives you relevance in the realm of God. Mama was sharing vehemently when she was teaching how vain some people are. Their glory is in the things they possess that perishes. They wear a shoe, and that shoe defines their value. And you ask them, where was the best shoe you had 2 years ago? They don't remember where it is. They drive a car, and the car determines their value. And you ask them, where was the car you drove 7 years ago? They don't even know where it is anymore. Things that perish define people's value. It speaks of vanity. But when a man truly knows what counts, he comes to the quarters where people do business with Abba. And even when they leave the earth, the assignment they carried out remains an eternal memorial before God. It's the power of intercession, the priesthood of prayer. And everyone must consciously and deliberately build capacity in the place of prayer for him or for her to be relevant in the agenda of God. When a man begins to pray, before I talk to you about what happens when we pray, when a man begins to truly do business on the altar, there are things God begins to do with that man. And that's where the capacity furnishing begins to take place. Prayer is not coming to present your shopping list to God, and when you finish, you say amen and go out. It's deeper than that. And so when God wants to build capacity in a man through prayer, he begins to show him the laws that govern prayers. And I will share 4 of them with you this morning, so you understand what it means. Because when we say build capacity, it's not just to pray loud or to pray long. Because you can exercise your will and pray for 2 hours. That's beautiful, but that's a lower realm, and I'll talk about it. When a man begins to build capacity in prayer, there are few realities God exposes him to. The first is the mystery of reverential submission. You have no capacity on the altar if you have not come to that point where reverentially you submit your will to the will of the Father. When a man is building capacity, or God begins to strengthen a man or a woman in the place of prayer, submission reverentially becomes one of the factors that define who that man is. And this is why God trusts intercessors. Because when a man prays, he has mastered how to adopt God's will when his will conflicts with God's will. So God can, without fear, commit kingdom to that man. Because God knows that at any point where that man's will conflicts with his will, the man will willingly drop his own and take up the will of God. The reason God cannot commit so much to most of us is because we will serve God until our family comes in. We will serve God until our business comes in. We will serve God until it has to do with certain relationships. You have not understood prayer. You have not built capacity in prayer. You build capacity in prayer when nothing is able to stand between you and God, even family. The reason you are Christians today is not just because an evangelist preached. It's because there were many men that at the expense of their family were willing to go forward with the kingdom. That was how they transited the faith from one generation to another. They built enough capacity that even when it had to do with foregoing family, they paid the price. Such cannot be taught you in a conference. Such cannot be taught you in a Bible school. It's only on the altar that God will strike that bargain with you. And God will ask you, you say you want me to pour my glory upon you. He said, can you forgo your business if need be? Can you forgo family if need be? But this is the beautiful balance in scripture. He said, no one who leaves mother, father, brother, sister will not be recompensed in this world and in the world to come. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain, but by all means, that bargain must be struck. And so in Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus came to that point on the altar. And the Bible said, while he was travailing in prayer, he said, Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by, yet not my will, but thine. If you have not come to that point where prayer have brought you to a place where you say, Lord, not my will, but thine, you are not ready for 2022. Because in 2022, one of the strategies of the devil will be compromises. The devil will bring bargains that will make you negate and despise God. Some people despise God because of marriage. The brother tells the sister, until you go intimate with me, I will not marry you. And then she goes and cries. And after 2 weeks, she comes and succumbs and throw her virginity away to a foolish man. And then she thinks when she gets into that marriage, it will work. You already bargained that marriage before you went in, because you have made a doorway for the devil. Because of a contract, somebody can falsify documents. And then he falsifies documents. And you come to the kingdom. You say, we are advancing the kingdom. You are not. Because God can't trust you with the powers of the kingdom. Before you get to that point where God can say, this is my daughter, you must have, through prayer, come to a point where you are able to substitute your will for the will of the Father. If your will conflicts the Father on any subject of life, do you have the fortitude to let go of your will and adopt His will? That's capacity in the place of prayer. Only prayer can furnish that level of authority. And when men get there, suddenly God invests upon their lives the power to advance the kingdom. Abraham was seeking God for more than 25 years for a child. And I love the way God's servant painted it. He said, Hannah was praying to God for a child, but God didn't give her the child because God will demand the child. So God had to allow her to get to a point where she could give up the child before God gave her the child. Because while she was praying for a child, God was preparing a prophet. Her son is not as important as a prophet of Israel. So the two had to be weighed on the balances. You want a son that you were pride in and say, now God have answered my prayer. I'm looking for a prophet that will lead Israel, including your family. Your son will be part of your family. The prophet will rule the whole of Israel. Your family is part of Israel. There is one greater than the other. And before the one you are looking for is answered, my own will be answered first. And so Hannah on the altar came to a point where she was willing to let go. And the moment she got there, her prayer was answered.
But when her prayer was answered, God's prayer was also answered. Because when you are praying, God is also praying.
Abraham said, I have no heir. Is this Eliezer of Damascus that will take over from me and win all my inheritance?
And God said, well, I am looking for the one that will bear the promise. Because Isaac is not just Isaac in the flesh. Isaac is also symbolic of Jesus Christ. So I'm looking for somebody who will have capacity to provoke salvation to the face of the earth. That's why Abraham became the author of salvation. And that's why when Jesus came, he said, Abraham, your father saw my day and he rejoiced in it. Because when Abraham went to the mountain in Genesis 22 to sacrifice Isaac and God showed him the lamb, he saw beyond that day. He saw the day of Jesus Christ. So God was looking for a man through whom he can activate salvation. Because if salvation doesn't come to the earth, you and I will go to hell. Abraham was praying for a son that will live with him for 30, 40 or 50 years. God was looking for a son that will save the whole world from death. But it took prayer for Abraham to get to a point where when God demanded Isaac, he could give Isaac over. And the moment he gave Isaac over, he became the father of many nations. He said, I have sworn by myself. The first time he called Abraham in Genesis 12, he didn't swear. But when he spoke to Abraham in Genesis 22, he swore by himself. He said, now I know that you fear me. When did he know? When he got to a place where he could give up his own will for the will of God. Most of you, we have to receive capacity in the place of prayer to be able to surrender your will and adopt the will of God, even when it is painful. That is the channel into ranking in this kingdom. When we were driving into this place, I looked at my friend and I told him, are you aware that they locked this gate at 7:05? When we saw the volume of cars outside and the number of people, I said they shut this gate by 7:05. Now the publicity is not on billboards. How did you know? What force pulled you here? Are you aware that there are many people who have prayer houses? And they have publicity on radio, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on billboard. And the door is open to the end of the meeting. Yet, they are not up to 200. That means publicity is actually not what brings men. It's the power of the Holy Ghost and the authority that is invested on a person. Now, how do people enter into that level of authority? Because they have come to the altar and the altar have taught them, the more you give up your will and allow the will of God, the more the power of God will be committed to you as a token. And so one woman prophesies over thousands of homes. And yet there's another woman who is praying to God for her children and her immediate family, and she can't even have answers. Meanwhile, what the woman who thinks her home is all there is does not understand is that she also has the same capacity that this one woman speaking to 10,000 homes have. She has the same capacity, but she has not journeyed in prayer to a point where she's able to give up her children, to give up her husband, to give up her career, to give up her business, and say, Lord, if it is my business you want, I will give it. If it is my family you want, I will give it. And the moment you do that, the jealousy of God is invested upon that business. He will not take it, but he will now empower it. Because that business will become a platform through which the glory of God will be seen. The day you say, Lord, if it's my children you want, I give them up. That day, the glory of God will come upon that your child that you have been advising that won't listen. The moment you sacrifice that child on the altar, that child becomes God's property. And beyond your advice, the Holy Ghost begins to manipulate the destiny of that child. This is how great women were able to rule their worlds. Because through prayer, they understood reverential submission. The reason most of us can't go far is that our prayer altar have not been able to challenge our selfishness.
And so a man builds capacity when prayer is able to challenge his or her self-centeredness until that man becomes so selfless that God can dwell with him. When you are selfish, your space is too small for the God of heaven to tabernacle with you. So prayer will make you to open all your boundaries and chambers. When that happens, God can step in. It's called capacity in prayer. What are you able to let go? What are you able to put on the altar? The things you are praying for, most of those things is God's business to defend. And God is saying, leave it for me. But your selfishness won't let you. You are holding on to it. The day you let go, that day, God will enthrone you over many, many, many more than the immediate ones you have. If you don't give up your son to God, you can't be a mother of nations, because God won't allow you to oversee other sons. If you don't give up your business to God, God cannot allow you to be a woman that has power to get wealth, to advance his kingdom, because it's all about you. There will be not enough accommodation for the nations to come in. Capacity in prayer is reverential submission of our will to God. Number two, capacity in prayer is a journey of faith that is born through intimacy. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, this is not the kind of faith that just commands mountain to move. We are talking about another kind of faith here. This is a kind of faith that the Bible explains in threefold. Number one, it says, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is. Now, I know all of us have passed that level. Nobody here argues that God is not. We all know that God is. It's the two that is difficult. He said that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking means committedly, continuously, conscientiously, and determinantly seek him. Now, if you look at that scripture, you will discover that before God rewards, you seek him. That's the kind of faith. It's not a faith that moves mountains. It's a faith that seeks God. And because you seek God, naturally, your prayer points are answered before you think about it. It said the what? They seek him. So this kind of faith is a journey of intimacy. When a man is coming to God, he's not just coming to God for what God gives. I want to see your face. I want to see your glory. Mama was sharing from Exodus 33. He said to Moses, everything you ask, I will give you. And I will not stop there. I will put you by the cleft of the rock. And I will cause all my goodness to pass by you. Everything God had to offer, he showed Moses. And Moses said, no, show me your glory. When your prayer have not taken you beyond your need, you don't have capacity. Because the moment your needs are met, your prayer will die. That's why those who seek God for marriage, the moment they get married, they can't pray anymore. Those who seek God for contracts, the moment they gain contracts, they can't pray anymore. Those who seek God for favor, the moment they gain favor, they can't pray anymore. Because prayer is beyond what God gives, it's God himself. When you are asking what God has to offer, it's himself. He said to Abraham, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. So when he said he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he's not talking about a contract. He's not talking about a job. He's not talking about marriage. He's talking about himself. And when God be for you, who can be against you? When God be for you, you will discover that the contract will be a byproduct. The favor will be a byproduct. When you see people praying for things so much, is because they've not prayed for God. Those who pray for God, they don't pray for things. The Bible says, while you are yet thinking, God answers. It says, before you open your mouth, he appears. These are those who truly know prayer. That's why you see a man, he comes to the place of prayer
and he's praying all day. And then you say, what are you asking for? What I'm asking for is not a gift, it's an entrustment. So I have to be dear enough for him to trust me to now open his oracles and say, come in. Capacity. Some of us have been clouded by our needs. And so when we are in the place of prayer, we have a list that contains 500 needs. And then we are reading it out to God like a shopping list. And when we finish reading our shopping list, we say, amen. And then we walk away. Meanwhile, there are those who kneel down and they are just sobbing in God's presence. And then you say, what is happening? They want more of him. The moment they step out of that place of prayer, somebody calls them and say, I was sleeping and the Holy Ghost told me to give you a car. Meanwhile, somebody else has been praying and planning for a car. The car never came. Until the car became a distraction. Until that person can no longer see God. Another person goes and seeks God until he comes into a realm in God. And in that realm, men naturally bring their goods to you. The Bible says God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. There is a level of favor a man has that he spoils a nation. Anywhere he comes, you say, why is he always about him? He entered into something in God. When men seek God, things pursue them. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. All other things, he said, they shall be added unto you. When you start seeking God, I assure you, you will not remember the last time you prayed for need. And yet, before you think about it, it will be done. And then you are wondering, Lord, why do you favor me so much? Why do you love me so much? It's because of where you are walking from. Where you are talking from. You have hid yourself in God. And when a man comes into the center of God, he knows no need anymore. That's why God, when he first created man, he put him in Eden. Be in the center of my presence. Everything you need will meet you there. When you start pursuing things, you run away from my presence. When you run to my presence, things were created naturally to come to my presence. Your husband will meet you there. The contract will meet you there. The favor will meet you there. Because the presence is the epicenter of reality. Capacity in prayer is a tenacity and a dogged adherence towards the pursuit of the person of God. When you say, let's seek God, you'll be amazed how many godless people are in church. But when you say, now, God wants to release favor for breakthrough, the building will collapse. And that's why every day they keep coming for breakthrough. But there is a realm where men get to. They are not looking for breakthrough. They are the breakthrough. When they come to your house, naturally things will begin to work. Other people can come and do ritual. They may come to your house, they may not even pray. But because they came there, the atmosphere they bring there will cause your heaven to open. Imagine if your home became a portal. Because you have sought God there for so long that when people need issues done, all they need to do is to visit your home. And somebody comes to your house and say, okay, don't worry, just go to my prayer room. After 10 minutes, come out. That's the generation God wants to raise. A generation of women that know the presence, that stays in the presence, and from the presence, they command change. You can stay in the presence, and even your husband knows that he will fulfill purpose. Your husband, he just knows. You can stay in the presence, and your sons will know they can't misbehave. You don't need to sit down, wake them up by 5 a.m. in the morning, and begin to give them rules of life. It was never recorded that Hannah sat somewhere in the morning and is telling him, avoid women, read your book, go to church. Before Samuel came, the contract concluded on the altar. So when he came, he had no choice. He has to walk in it. Because before he came, he was already dedicated. You can't change your mind. It's too late. I've taught before that some of us would not have been preaching. The last thing I want to do is to hold the microphone and preach. Those days when I go to church, I sit at the back. My mom will laugh. Is it you? I've given you up before you came. You have no choice. I gave you up long before you came. When they talk about me, say, leave him. That's the prophet. Me, prophet. I had many ideas. I was creative about things. There were many things in my head. But I didn't know that a spirit was watching over me. He was just waiting for the time appointed of the Father. Because a contract took place without my consent. And because I came from her loins, I could not change the things that she uttered. And when I came of age, the finger of God found me. And when he put his hand on me, the hand was too heavy. Even though I didn't want to, I couldn't do otherwise. How can your own son be wayward? Because you don't know the altar. How can your daughter be looking for who to marry? The destiny that you have already written with God and signed with tears. How can that destiny be compromised? How can your husband womanize and run around? The same husband that before he came, God showed you on the altar. The same husband whose leg was manipulated by the Holy Ghost to find you. He didn't know why he came to Abuja. He thought he came to do a business or to run a contract. And then God dragged him until he came to find you at that corner where you were sitting. How can that husband now leave you and go to roam about? As if you didn't beget him on the altar. Why do you think you are called mothers? Because you bet everything you have. And if it came from you, it is yours. And then somebody said, they took my husband. Which your husband? How can they take him? The one you betted before you married. But people don't see God. So they don't enter authority levels. Every mother is beyond the home. The day you became a mother, you are not just a mother of a home. You became a mother of all the sons in that neighborhood. You became a mother of that territory. You became a responsible owner and watcher over that whole environment. Everywhere your son can go to, you own that place. Because you are the one, he said, the prayer of your parents shall be a canopy, a covering over you, even when you are in a strange land. But you cannot walk in such power unless by prayer you have been able to forgo everything to seek God. And when you find him, everything that is in God becomes yours. Capacity in prayer. This is why you are travelers. This is why you have a womb to bet things into the natural. There are too many things that are still in the spirit. Most of us are yet to begin to burn. I know you have a daughter, but you have not begun to bet things yet. Until from the altar, things begin to come out of your spirit. Things begin to come out of your spirit. Things begin to come out of your spirit. That is where true power is. That's what we call capacity in prayer. Yeah. Prayer altar is beckoning on you. There are many things waiting for you to bet. The prayer altar is calling on you. There are many homes that are waiting deliverance because you have not risen. There are many marriages awaiting deliverance because you have not risen. There are many breakthroughs in territories that are not possible because you have not risen. If there is one language a woman should know, it should be a language of prayer. Because a woman by nature is a begetter. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You are natural mothers. And so the heritage of Zion, to a very large degree, awaits your travail. Now, when these two things begin to happen, I have about four of them, but because of time, I will stop. When these two things begin to happen, then you begin to enter the realms of prayers. And the first realm of prayer is what we call stamina. You see, when you have not understood this, you will not understand what spiritual stamina is. Stamina in the place of prayer is not exercising your will. Stamina in the place of prayer is mastery in yielding to the Holy Spirit. So you begin to function by the energy of the Holy Spirit. So you find somebody that was weak, suddenly goes to pray, and then the person is there for 10 hours. You who want to exercise your will, you can come there and insist. That's beautiful, but it's beyond it. Because that person praying by yieldedness, when he or she is done praying, he will become stronger. You who exercise your will, when you are done praying, you will be weak. Because you were functioning by ATP. But you cannot understand spiritual stamina until these two things I shared, you have put it to work until it has become natural with you. In stamina, the Holy Ghost comes into you and mantles you. That is the authority you have, that when you look at people, you'll see them beyond what they look like. A lady can come to your house. Her hair is fully tied. Her neck is covered as if she wants to strangle herself. And her skirt is long to the floor. But when you see her, you see Jezebel. You know her ambition. The reason is because you are not judging by the sight of the eyes. You are judging by the spirit that have saturated you. So beyond the disguise, you can tell her intention. That's why when your husband wants to go out, you can tell him, don't go out today. Don't go out. Don't go out today. If he refuses, after 2-3 times, he will now understand. That when my wife says, don't go out, don't go out. Because my wife goes ahead of me in prayer. And then when you are going somewhere as a man, even if your wife were not conscious, you will tell her to say something. Because everything she says becomes the outcome of that outing. Because she has become the prophet that guides your journey. That's when women truly begin to gain rank. Because they have yielded to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has mantled them. And when the Holy Ghost mantles them, they become the compass for the navigation of the home. When they say women are the builders of the home, it's not by sitting everybody down and advising them. It's by going ahead of the home in the spirit. When the husband is laboring, the woman is going ahead of him. The things that the husband will naturally negate, they are the things the woman does naturally. I can tell you by experience that built into a woman is endurance. If I were to be pregnant for 1 week, the most enduring man cannot carry pregnancy for 2 months. The design of the woman all reveals her spiritual propensities. That means what a man cannot sit on for 1 week, a woman can sit on it for 1 year. That's why women do gossip a lot and keep malice, because they are incubators. When you offend them, they can be on that matter for 1 year. But the man is not an incubator. He quarrels and he forgets about it. The woman will be there. He will come back 2 weeks later and say, that thing you did, I told you. You thought it has been settled. And then 1 month later, something happened. He said, this is the same thing you did the last time. And the man wants to... The woman is functioning like that because she has not entered her office as an intercessor.
when she enters her office as an intercessor, that's how she will sit on the matters of the home. And she will insist until those things are sorted out. It's called stamina. That's why every time a great man is about to appear in scripture, the angel will leave the man and go and tell the woman. Because if he tells the man, he will go and preach about it and forget. But when he told Manoah's wife, he said, eat no strong drink, drink no strong drink, and let no razor come upon his head, for he shall be a Nazarite unto the Lord. The woman was there for 9 months. We didn't remember about the man. Even when the angel came the second time, the man forgot. Because there is no stamina. He doesn't understand how to yield. Even in the marriage equation, you are the one commanded to submit. Because yieldedness is a natural proponent that the Holy Ghost brings into you as you activate your life in the Spirit. And on the strength of that yieldedness, you can yield to the Holy Spirit and begin to incubate on the purpose of that marriage until it finds expression. When children rises, it's because their mothers were warriors. When families succeed, it's because their mother, the woman of the house, is an intercessor. When you see a man walking in favor, it's because there's an engine room that you don't see. It is a woman that has the stamina in the home. Every home where children are wayward, there was a problem with the mother. Every home where children are great, then you find a great intercessor. She may not say it, but even the children know. And every time sons are to give testimonies, they may respect their father, but you will know where their allegiance lie, because they know who bettered them. It's a grace called stamina that every woman has the capacity to incubate, like a hen. The egg can be formed and the hen will sit on it. If the hen stands up before the time, the egg will be destroyed. It will no longer be an egg and it will not grow into a chick. That's the problem of many children in society, because their mothers never built stamina. God told you that your son will be great. You told everybody, but you didn't bet it on the altar. And then after a while, when the star of your son begins to shine, the demons see it. And instead of you to have covered them in the place of prayer, you didn't develop stamina. And so because there was no covering over that child becomes vulnerable. But when Deborahs begin to rise, there will be mothers in Israel. Mothers that know the purposes of God and the ordinations of God for a generation. And they will not just preach it, but they will sit on it until it is born. We are preaching revival today, but I can tell you, by visions and by the privilege of ordination, that most of the revivers, dimensions of the revival we will see, they will break out of women's prayer closets. When revival came to Israel through Samuel, it was a business between Hannah and God. When revival came to Israel through Samson, it was a business between an angel and Manoah's wife. When Jesus showed up, it was a business between Anna, the prophetess, and the Holy Spirit. Most revivers have their root with women that have built stamina. They know how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Why do you think when a woman is offended, she begins to cry? Because all she knows to do is to pour her heart to God. And in pouring her heart to God, there is a spiritual component that is built on her inside. It's called spiritual stamina. Because that is where, that through that traveling, that bettings take place. May your womb in the spirit not be useless while you're on the face of the earth. Have you not noticed that a woman can sit in one spot and gossip for the whole day? There is something in her spirit. It's called stamina. But that stamina must be converted through prayer until it becomes a gate for betting. When purposes are born, it's because women have built stamina in the spirit. A woman does not strive and say, I want to be known, I want to be the preacher. A woman can come to church, she's comfortable sitting by her husband's side. If her husband is doing well, she's full of joy. There are those God has put his hand upon that lead generation. But most of them, they want to do their job at the back. Because there is something about incubation that is in their spirit. It's called stamina. As you begin to build capacity, the first thing you will notice is that stamina will come to your spirit.
And sometimes you will tell your husband, let's pray. After 30 minutes, he's already snoring. But you can be there till 4 a.m. in the morning. And you can remember everything that needs to be addressed because stamina has come. When that begins to happen, you have begun to journey the realms of prayer. And when you journey beyond stamina, the second realm of prayer is called ascension. In ascension, what happens to you is that those cries that have gone to heaven, you will begin to receive feedback from heaven. Once upon a time, you prayed for 3 weeks, and all you had was that the burden was lifted. And suddenly, as you keep developing stamina, a point comes where when you pray, you go to sleep and you see a vision. Ascension has come. A point comes when you pray, an angel walks into your room. Ascension has come. A point comes when you pray, the Holy Ghost begins to talk to you about the churches in Abuja. And you are asking yourself, I'm not a prophet, a prophetess. I'm not an apostle. Why are you telling me about the churches? Because the true business is on the altar, not on the pulpit. When ascensions begin to take place, you begin to receive feedback from heaven. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, women receive their dead back to life. That means the things that time gave up on. Because these women can journey into eternity, they can superimpose that dimension into time. And when you think something has failed, call a woman. Because through ascension, she will be able to bring divine feedback. There are many of you here that as you begin to pray, you will naturally begin to ascend in the spirit. And you will know the future of your husband, the future of your children, the future of your family, the future of your territory. Because God will begin to entrust you with the powers to see beyond the now. It is called ascension in the spirit. It's a realm of encounter that people enter through prayer. Because prayer is not just about answered prayers or answers to what you demand. Prayer is about entering into the realm of God and trafficking in that dimension. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call unto me and I will answer. And then after answering, he went to another level. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. That is what we call ascension. That somebody begins to pray, and after God answers it, God says, wait. The prayer doesn't end with answer. There are things I want to show you now. And suddenly that person shows up, and that person becomes a divine router that brings the purposes of God to bear in a family and in a territory, because ascension has taken place. Now, well, let me tell you something. Many times, when God wants to do great things, he looks for people that don't look like it. Because when he carries a man who looks like it, he will have something to boast in and say, it's because I'm educated. Most of the women today that are being marginalized, they are the hope of tomorrow. You look at them, you think they are useless. Their husband makes them feel as if they are nothing. Just begin to pray. When you pray for a while, you will discover that not just your home, your territory will become answerable to you. And the things God will begin to do through you, they will tell your husband about you, and your husband will be shocked. You mean my wife? How is that possible? You have entered ascension. He may not discover it, but the Holy Ghost has taken you there. And you will wake up and you say, I dreamt today, and this is what I saw. And your husband will think it's a dream. But those who know that you are now a gate will say, when that woman dreams, better take it serious. Because it's a feedback system from heaven. It's an ascension dimension. And it's available for women in this generation. And you will not leave this retreat until you build capacity sufficient to travel into ascension. Because very soon, if the body of Christ needs direction, they will look for when women pray. And they will ask, where are the prophets among you? Where are those that speak for God? Where are those that see in the secret? And sometimes when you say, these are the women, and then the people you bring out, some of them are widows. And then they say, this one, who is this person? You will tell them, don't look after the sight of the eyes. These people you are seeing are warriors in the spirit. Sometimes you point at somebody and the person looks very classy. And then you say, no, this one is Kana. You laugh. She's not Kana. is not a spirit of excellence and glory, but in her womb is a power. You don't know the wealth that God has put in the female gender. Women naturally are seers. And when a woman begins to travail, her propensities in the spirit cannot be matched. Cannot be matched. That's why when a whole nation is in darkness and God wants to pioneer a new move, many times it goes to women. The woman told her husband, "An angel of the Lord came to me. An angel of the Lord came to me." The husband was shocked. "An angel came to you?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "We'll be with child. I shouldn't take any strong drink, and no razor should come on his head." "Okay, we thank God." And then the next time the angel came again. I wonder why the angel never went to the man. The woman now went to call the husband. Most of you will begin to bring your families into encounters. You will bring your sons into encounters. You will bring territories into encounters. Because you will become an ascended reality. The world has many preachers. The world has many ministries. But there are few watchers. There are few people that can bring us the verdict of heaven. There are few people that can bring us the testimonies of Abba. Because sometimes we are too busy with ministry. Sometimes we are too busy with things that we neglect the altar. Most of you that are looked down upon and they think you are just good enough for a housewife, there is a dimension of glory about to break out through your life. Because you will walk in ascension. You will walk in dimension beyond your learning and beyond your education. You will walk in dimension beyond the encouragement or the discouragement that you suffer. Society makes it look as if women should not be at the front forefront because of the degree of our illiteracy. Culture, tradition, and customs pioneered by demonic spirits have put and negated women and put them behind. But women are rising by the Spirit. That powers that were born out of ancestry and powers that were born out of human decline in understanding of the purposes of God cannot stop. Because most of you will begin to function in ascended realities. Number three, when you begin to pray, you will enter the realm of stillness. The realm of stillness is where you are truly empowered. In Exodus 14, it says, "Be still and you will know the salvation of God." You will come to a point where your words will not just be many, but when you speak, you are legislating the purposes of God. You will come to a point where your spirit will be so gathered that when God wants to thrust out, He will begin to speak through you. Because you have come to a place where you can wield your scepter. Can I tell you something? Too many men have served God. So there is a competition in the spirit for men. But there are few women that have done the biddings of God's spirit. When you are calling or studying church history, they are just a handful. And so there is a lot of vacuum for you to step into something. There are lots of mantles awaiting you in the spirit. There are lots of graces awaiting you in the spirit. It's in stillness that you will know. And when you come to that realm of knowing, your words will become a weapon. Your hands will become a weapon. Your thought will become a weapon. And the glory of God will naturally flow through you. Because women, again, will receive their dead back to life. There are realms of prayer that we need to get into. We need to journey into stamina. We need to journey into ascension. We need to journey into stillness. Because there are many things depending on you to be carried out. You don't just come for a place or a prayer meeting like this just to be prayed for. You came for a prayer meeting like this to be awakened to the realities that God has put on your inside. There are most of you that have seen great visions. Before you got married, God showed you many visions. But when you got married,
you became clogged with family affair. Today, God wants to take you back to that place where you were, that as a single lady, visions of God came to you. Angels ministered to you. But family matters, troubles in homes, have made you to lose it. God is restoring you back there. There are most of you here that God has given you exceeding great and precious promises. You saw them, you knew them, you believed them. But when you start giving birth to children, you became distracted. There is an awakening about to take place for you. The things God showed you, family will not stop it. Family will only cure it so that it can become greater in the name of Jesus. There are most of you here that God has promised that through you, He will activate dimensions. You told your friends, you preached it, but few years ago, a crisis came and those things looked as if they are not possible anymore. As we pray now, your eyes will begin to open and the things God promised you in the secret place, you will begin to see them happen again. The anointings you felt in the past, you will begin to feel those anointings again. The angels that visited you in the past, they will begin to visit you again. The dimensions of God that you carried in the past, you will begin to see them again. Everything that constituted a disadvantage before now, by the Spirit, they will turn out for your good. He said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, joy comes in the morning. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. You have been distracted by looking at the things which are seen. But right now, the Holy Ghost is taking you back to your encounters. The Holy Ghost is taking you back to your visions. The Holy Ghost is taking you back to the word of the Lord that He gave you many years ago. And by them, you will begin to do business on the altar. Visions are being reinstated. Callings are being reactivated. Graces are being released again. There are most of you here, you were prophetesses and seers. Nothing happened without you seeing it. The moment you close your eyes, God began to speak to you. But you have lost them. You have lost them by cooking in the kitchen. You have lost them by taking care of your daughter and your son. You have lost them by taking care of your husband. But as I speak now, the things that were lost, the things that were forgotten, the things that were aborted, they are beginning to be activated in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wombs are beginning to open in the spirit. Graces and mantles are beginning to rest again in the name of Jesus. There is a particular anointing about to be activated here in this building. It's the anointing of the seer. I'm about to begin to minister in the spirit and we'll begin to pray very shortly. There are most of you that had dreams and visions and they were direct messages from God. Those are the first set of people the Lord wants to minister to. You had dreams, you had visions, and they were direct messages from God. But for some of you, for years now, you have lost them. The Lord wants to wash your eyes with eyes out. There are some of you that you breathe in the past, your breath was fasting. You could go 21 days. You could go 40 days. You could go 72 days. You could go 90 days. You had appetite for fasting. You had appetite for intercession. But for years now, you have lost that weapon. You have lost that scepter. The Lord wants to activate burdens in your spirit again. That the graces that you lost, the dimensions that you lost, the scepters that you lost, they are about to be restored.
Ghost is about to begin to minister to people. The Holy Ghost is here now. He's about to put his hand on people. That moment of the Spirit has come. That moment has come. Ushers, it's time to be sensitive. Eyes are beginning to open in the Spirit. Eyes. Eyes. Eyes that see. Ears that hear. Hearts that understand. Hearts that understand. Ears that hear. In the hall. On the internet. Eyes that see. Ears that hear. Hearts that understand. Can you go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Holy Ghost. My emphasis this morning is not just to preach. It's to provoke activations. It's to provoke restoration. It's to provoke the release of the Spirit. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and pray. The moment is here. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I didn't come this morning to preach. I came to activate graces. I came to provoke restoration. The things you have lost. The things you have lost. Some of it were for legitimate reasons. But the Lord comes to restore. The Lord comes to reactivate. The Lord comes to reactivate. We have less than 50 minutes. We are going to pray now. I want us to pray violently for 30 minutes. I didn't come to preach. I just came to tell you that there will be restoration because you have lost a lot of things. There are weapons, there are mantles, there are graces, there are scepters that have been lost that God wants to restore. So lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray now like a desperate person. A person that doesn't want to walk out of here until something rests upon you. Until something rests upon you. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Bete Gavata. Rakibata Kabone. Lagabatagia. Pray in the Spirit. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about who is on your side. Do business with the altar. Do business with the altar. Women, receive their dead back to life. Warriors, keepers, intercessors, watchers. The seasons of God. The seasons of God are upon us. You will not back down. You will not let go until there is a change. Ekatalila Pakata Rakibano Sabakate Andadale Mariga Pate Bela Kabadanis Gadagava Intakabash Ragada Patekash. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. He said, Hannah was praying until her mouth was quivering, and Eli thought she was drunk. And Anna said, I am not drunk. I am speaking to the Lord by reason of the multitude of my griefs. Can you travail? Can you travail? Can you travail? Wailing women, travailing women, roaring women,
de gavada, batakoba da kabado, bakaradi talaga. Something must shift in my spirit. Something must shift. Ate kasoda, maka zazali la kabate, riada da bosh, atokuba la kada. There is an energy in prayer. There is a grace in prayer. There is a realm in prayer. Step into that realm. Step into that realm. Adiako, Badiga Pakata, Rakiba Badonda, Lakodia Tataliga. Travel in the spirit. Some of you may need to drop things on the altar. The Holy Ghost will make demand. The Holy Ghost will make demand. Everything that has competed with God, some of you to be your phones. The Holy Ghost will make demand. Some of you is fashion. Everything competing with the presence, you are dropping them now. Baedoa Sadak, Bilagabada Gabos, Bateke Bata, Ragadadadida, Lakombiata, Balo Gazata, Mantakabo, Bragadadagodia Talabanda. Shata, Heliga Pate, Zanzata Kaliga Paragata. Pray in the spirit. When women pray, the ground of prayer. Travel in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen. I came here just to show you a map. I didn't come to preach. I came to show you a map. That's why I spoke the way I spoke. Because every junction I emphasize is a place where some are, and it's a place where some are falling. The reason I told you the first thing is reverential submission is because most of you can't cross over to higher realms of glory because things are standing on the way. For some of you, it's your phones. For some of you, it's fashion. As simple as it is, you spend all your mental energy and power on fashion. And so the prophetic dimension in you have not seen daylight. And so God is making demand because we will journey through these junctions. There are some of you, your issue are family related. You carry so much family burdens that you have lost your walk with God. Meanwhile, God wants to raise an army. God wants to raise a generation of women that He can commit the kingdom to. And so this morning, as we pray, there are many things the Holy Ghost will begin to point at. You will drop them at the altar. Whatever it is that He points at, I'm not saying it's a sin, but I'm saying there are weights. And He said, lay aside every weight that doth easily beset you and run the race with patience. Every weight in your life this morning that have made it impossible for you to journey into deeper places in God, as you pray now, begin to drop them. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Some of you is Facebook. Some of you is WhatsApp. You chat from morning to night and your altars have gone dormant. Some of you is gossip. Some of you is malice. Some of you is backbiting. Some of you is fashion.
Today, you drop that weight on the altar because an army is rising. An army is rising. An army of women is rising. Is rising. Is rising. Is rising. Go ahead and make those declarations. Oh, hey. Hey. The sounds of the Spirit, the voice of Yahweh, the beckonings of the Holy Ghost, the Lord summons you. Lay aside every weight that easily beset you. Lay them aside now. The Lord makes demands. The Lord makes demands. Ateka bagash, rakatata kabos, atuade takabanda. Lagashata Bodiata Aldova Rakadade.
Jesus, the things God wants to do in the last day, they are strange. We have come to that era where you can come for a fellowship like this and the prophet will be a senator. It will no longer be said that the time where politicians are criminals, is those times will be gone forever. They will come to a fellowship and governors will be the ones taking charge. And when they preach the word of God, you will feel fire and the glory of God. Because they are not just politicians. They are apostles to government. The time has come where you see millionaires who are intercessors. CEOs of companies, merchants, they will be mighty intercessors. And you are asking, how come you are not distracted by wealth? They have become bigger than money. Even though they are wealthy, they are watchers, they are intercessors, they are keepers of gates, keepers of territories, and keepers of dimensions. The time has come where the army of God will come from government, it will come from the academia, it will come from the business world. Intercessors will not just be the poor men. Intercessors will be rulers. Intercessors will be senators. Intercessors will be governors, because the altar has been activated. Can you pray? Whatever it is that is stopping me from participating in the army of God, whatever it is that is threatening to disqualify me, Lord, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Oh, Melaka, take it away. Use me for your glory. Pakatakash. The prayer ministry is not for the poor members of the church. It's a calling for the whole body of Christ. Your altars come alive. Your altars, they come alive.
Shabak Malikabayash Berakatonos Vambale Anzakta Pata Likabakabaze Zadadagabadobanaka Borua Kabash Borua Kabash Mantakiba Malay Bakledo Baka Zezaya Zezaya Zezaya. Maketo bakate azuzada katiwata baluade kekakash balakaduri atatanama rakabato otuade kapasuza matakiba rakapadoa shabata oh batea. Makelados apekazuzi matakiba ratash kate sabane balaki atutale Mantaka Bazuza Lagabada Toba Eta. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Listen, many things will go wrong because men refuse to pray. Some of you who are here, you are the priest of your family. So when God invites you to pray, it's because there is a need for a gatekeeper. You don't go to God when things have gone wrong. You stand with God to stop things from going wrong. I know it by experience. When God was calling me to the ministry of prayer, I was busy parading myself as a football analyst. There's nothing wrong with watching football, but I didn't know there was a gate of hell about to open. And God took me ahead to preserve a generation, but I was busy watching football. Many families will break because people refuse to pray. Many people will die because people refuse to pray. It's a waste of time to come to God lamenting. God, why? God is asking you why. Because God went ahead when he began to trouble you to pray. Because he saw tomorrow, but you refused to keep your gate. I was analyzing football until people were dying in my family. People were dying. Over 6 persons died before I woke up. Because by ordination, I was the gatekeeper. Is it possible that you are the gatekeeper of your home and your irresponsibility is why many are not married? Your irresponsibility is why many are not giving birth. Your irresponsibility is why people are dying. Your irresponsibility is why people are sick and you are there telling God why. God is asking you why. Can you tell the Lord today, grant me the grace for prayer. Grant me the power for prayer. Grant me the capacity to keep my altar alive. Lakabakash, regedetesh, alakabadoda, balakwate, mantakiba, baraka, uzadefa, mantekuze, baragadoash, mantakaboa, ragadadakoda. Pray! Everything depends on prayer. As a man ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Akapatoka rakapakabata lakwade ezwada mantaki bara bambaro zagabata jeto avalina kandeka orukapate kapuza rabia toa teke ezotadia mantoku barakato. You may not look like it, but God chose you. You may not look like it, but heaven chose you. And so come into your office. Come into your office. Elaka Azuana Mariede Azoto Pakaskata Maleka Boas. Thank you, Father. Listen, the issues of the flesh
They are heavy. They are heavy. The issues of the flesh are heavy. And so, when we emphasize it, it's not to get you emotional. It's to make you see it, that a lot is at stake. And that there are deliberate actions you must take in order to remedy the things that are at stake. Because some may not know it. There are many subjects. On the subject of prayer, if I want to preach, I can preach you shouting. But you will be excited and go home. So I routed you through a path where you can put yourself in the equation. And anything that is limiting you, you have the choice to take it away. For some of us, they are personal matters. Some of us, we need to disconnect with certain people. Every day you meet them, it's one gossip to another gossip. From one gossip to another gossip. And that's why the prayer energy is dying. Because when you are done gossiping, you can no longer pray for 30 minutes. And it's not just about the prayer. It's about the mandate that is resting on your shoulders. Imagine if Pastor Obi was walking about gossiping. How can she gather thousands of women? How can she address homes? There are many ordinations resting on your heads, but you are trading them. You are trading them with malice. You are trading them with gossip. You are trading them with backbiting. You are trading them with lust. And so today, you will do business on the altar. And you will say it again. That thing stopping me. That thing standing in the way. That thing limiting me. God, take it away. For some of us, it's anger. For some of us, it's hatred. God, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. There is a destiny awaiting you. There are generations waiting for you. Makabash. De. Alogo Pakataya.
The Holy Ghost is touching people now. Please stay sensitive and receive. Please. Ushers, you can help them and bring them here. So they are not injured. Now, the hand of God comes upon you. For healing. For deliverance. Touch. Now. All over the building. Inside. Outside. We cause afflictions. We command yokes of sickness. Break. We command demons of affliction. Get out. Come out. Holy Ghost. The Lord is touching people. Please stay sensitive and receive. There's somebody towards the end, close to that air condition there. You are having a heart condition, like a heart palpitation. The Lord just touched you. Please run out quickly, quickly. You are wearing a gown. You are all ladies, so. Please come quickly. There's a heart affliction. As you come out, you breathe in and breathe out. You'll discover that pain has gone. There's somebody to us here. Listen, watch my hand. You have something with your neck. It's causing so much pain, like a growth is about to come out. Quickly come out. That thing has gone. Check. Please stay sensitive. Stay sensitive. Healings are taking place. You had issues there, sister? Please help her, help her. That growth goes. That growth vanishes now. That affliction is gone. In the name of Jesus, it's gone. I curse it. I curse it to its root. I curse it. I curse it to its root. Holy Ghost, healings all over the place. I'm seeing a fair tall lady somewhere around here. There's something wrong with your liver. Please don't rush to come out. I want to try to describe. This person is tying a scarf. Like a cap. You are tying it like a cap or something. There is a challenge with your liver. And you are already shrinking. The Lord is causing that affliction. I curse it. I curse it. I curse it. I curse it. Somebody here has something like a pain around your armpit. You can't lift your hand. Who is the person? Mama. That affliction is gone. I curse it. I curse that growth. I curse it to its root. I curse it. Liver! The spirit of death. I see a black bed in the spirit. There's a spirit of death. Listen, listen. Stay sensitive. There's a spirit of death that's afflicting. There are at least three of you here. One of you is your blood. You have tested many times. They can't find anything. And you are just dying. You are just dying. This person is from around here. You are just dying. I bring you life. I bring you life. Where is the person? Please walk to me quickly. I curse that affliction. Liver! One of you here, the symptom you are feeling is the spirit of heaviness. It's the spirit of heaviness. You literally can't wake up in the morning. And sometimes you are choking on your bed. I curse that affliction. Liver! So river flow, let it an river flow in your church once again. So you can actually stand. Mama, you people, you can stand. You can stand. You don't need to stress to kneel down. Please. River flow, Mama. An angel is touching your eyes. And it's making you a seer. It's opening your eyes in the spirit. Your altar is receiving another fragrance. In the name of Jesus. Take! Let it an river flow. In your church. Once again. Let it an river flow. River flow. Let it an river flow in your church once again. Let it an I'm seeing somebody here. A demon has come to eat your children from your womb. Wait. From around here. A demon has come to eat children from your womb. And there's always a contradiction around pregnancy with you. The Lord wants to terminate that evil. Who is the person? Come. Let it an river flow in your church once again. Look at me. Liver! Out!
In your church.
You. Yes. Just last week. That affliction ends now. Out of her! You devil. Leave her! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website on rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.